Okay, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. And I was trying to say something, work out what I should say about Ezekiel, but I haven't been able to come up with something to get back to him. I'd probably make another mistake, but anyway. Have many of you seen the movie 12 Strong? Who's heard of the movie 12 Strong? Hopefully someone has. Okay, well, one person has, that's great. Anyway, it is an American action war drama movie which tells the story of a US Army Special Force sent to Afghanistan immediately after the September 9/11 attacks in New York City. It's a pretty intense movie and has a lot of men full of courage and faith. So it is about the 12 men who go into battle against incredible odds. There's only 12 of them against 50,000 men. They're men on horseback against armoured tanks. It's pretty crazy odds, but these men are incredibly courageous and have faith in their own abilities and the abilities of their fellow soldiers. So there's one scene where the captain of the group gives a talk to psych up the team just before a battle. He basically tells his team that the battle they're about to go into has no guarantee of success and a high chance of them all dying. He gives each one of his 11 men a choice to leave or to continue on with the changed plans of the mission. All 11 of them decide to continue, knowing that they have a high chance of losing their lives. So in this scene, knowing that it's a Hollywood movie based on true events, you just think that these are the ultimate courageous guys, sacrificing themselves for their country, going up against incredible odds. They have incredible courage and incredible faith in their abilities and their team. So it's pretty full on. So without their courage or possibly their madness, that they would not have succeeded in their mission. Also, without their faith in each other and the local warlord in whom they teamed up with, they would not have had success. They would have, therefore, their courage and faith were a necessary part of their success in their mission. So maybe you can go watch the movie another time later, but maybe not the younger ones. But it gives us a good picture of courage and faith. And so this brings us to the story in the Bible that I want us to look at today. It is about a man of immense courage and faith, Elijah. Considering it's Father's Day, I thought it would be good for us to look at the example of Elijah, one of the Bible's great godly men, one of the Bible's men of courage. So hopefully this example of Elijah will be an encouragement and also a challenge to those of us who are fathers. Hopefully we'll be encouraged as fathers to be men of faith and men of courage. But this passage is not only just for the fathers here. It's a good example for all of us. So the mothers and other people, don't tune out. It's good for us all. Elijah is a good example for us all to look at. So let's look at the example of Elijah. So like the men in the movie 12 Strong, Elijah comes up against crazy odds. One prophet against 850 prophets. He is one of the great prophets of God in the Old Testament, and his story can be found in 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18, and a bit in 2 Kings as well. But part of this story was just read out for us earlier. And so Elijah's name means Yahweh is my God. He lived up to his name and was very devoted serving to his God. And his main goal was to remind the people that there is no other God except Yahweh, except the Lord. So he lived in a very tumultuous time when the people of God were turning away from God. His ministry was during the reign of King Ahab. And King Ahab was not a very good king at all. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In chapter 16, verse 30, we see that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of the kings before him. And in fact, in verse 33, it says, he did more to provoke the Lord to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. So he's a pretty ruthless, pretty nasty king. And King Ahab led his people, the people of God, to serve and worship Baal and Asherah. to worship idols of foreign countries rather than to follow and obey Yahweh, the true God of Elijah and God's people. So this meant that during Elijah's ministry, there was a lot of opposition against him. Temples of Yahweh were torn down and temples for Baal and Asherah were built. The people were not wanting to listen to what Elijah had to say. And Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, was killing off the prophets of God. Elijah was in fear of his life, and it was a very hard and dangerous ministry for Elijah. But despite all this opposition and threat to his life, we see that Elijah is a man of faith and a man of courage and continues with his calling to serve his God. So there are four examples I want us to look at to see that Elijah is a man of faith. And then we'll have a look at a few examples about that Elijah being a man of courage. So the first example, Elijah trusted God to provide for him. In chapter 17, verses 1 to 6, Elijah delivers bad news to King Ahab, that the Lord will withhold all dew and rain for several years, causing severe drought. So after delivering this bad news of severe drought to a powerful king, Elijah, fearing for his life, God tells Elijah to flee the king and hide in a ravine where there is a brook. God told him that the ravens would feed him. So I don't know about you, but I would be pretty pessimistic about surviving in a ravine during a severe drought, being fed by a flock of birds. But Elijah trusted God to care for him in this way, and the ravens fed him twice a day with meat and bread. So Elijah is a man of faith, trusting that God would care for him. The second example, again, we see that Elijah trusted God to provide for him. In chapter 17, verses 7 to 16, we read about the miracle of the widow's never-ending jug of flour and jar of oil. In his faith, Elijah again obeyed God and followed his directions. This time, God led him to the house of the widow and her son. So by this time, the drought was so severe that this widow only had enough flour and oil for one last meal for herself and her son. So it was a pretty dire situation. But despite this fact, Elijah boldly asked the widow for food and water. But he was trusting that God would provide. So as you could imagine, the widow was very reluctant to share her food with Elijah. But in verse 14 we read, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." So Elijah, with faith in God to provide, told the widow to also trust God. And the widow obeyed, and there was enough food for them all. The jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry. So again, Elijah trusted and obeyed God. He is a man of faith. Thirdly, Elijah trusted God to heal and raise the dead. In chapter 17, verses 17 to 24, we read that after some time, the widow's son gets so ill that he stops breathing and dies. Elijah takes the widow's son and prays to God to return the life of the boy. God hears Elijah's cries, and God returns the boy's life. So because of the faith of Elijah, the boy was raised, and the widow completely believes in God. So we see Elijah is a man of faith. So the fourth point that shows Elijah is a man of faith is a story which was read out to us earlier in chapter 18. We see that Elijah is accused by the king of bringing trouble to Israel. He was a troublemaker. He obviously denies it and turns the accusation against the king, highlighting the king's sins that he has committed by turning against God and following worthless idols. We see that Elijah puts forward a challenge to the king. The challenge is, whichever God brings down fire and consumes the sacrifice is the true God. So what is at stake here is finding out who is the true all-powerful God in whom the people will follow. Is it Baal, in whom the king and his people have turned to? Or is it Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel, the Elijah's God in whom he has great faith? So Elijah questions the people's faith in verse 21 of chapter 18. It says, "Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. So Elijah basically tells people to worship the God that wins the challenge. It could be either God. It could be the God of Baal or God of Elijah. But Elijah has full confidence in his God. He has total and utter faith in God to bring down fire from heaven. Elijah did not have one ounce of doubt that God would come through with the goods. So I love this story because it unashamedly shows the futility of the people trusting in idols and shows Elijah's unwavering confidence in his God. There is no question whatsoever in Elijah's mind who will win the challenge. So the stage is set, one prophet, Elijah, against 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Elijah gets the Baal worshippers to go first. He taunts the people as they call on their God. He doesn't hold back at all and insults their God. Hours pass by and still nothing happens. Elijah stirs them up so much that they start slashing themselves with swords and spears and dancing around the altar, shouting louder and louder. But nothing happens. Evening comes and it becomes Elijah's turn. Elijah's faith in God is so solid that he even makes it harder for himself by having water poured all over the altar, not once but three times. Instead of dancing around and making a scene shouting, Elijah prays to God. In faith, he simply asks God to bring down fire from heaven so that people will know that the Lord, he is God. And we know that God does bring down fire, and Elijah's faith is proven right. The Lord triumphs and the people turn back to him. So this is a great story. Elijah had incredible faith in God and wanted the people to know his God is the one true God. So it is very clear that Elijah is a man of faith. It is also clear that he is a man of courage. So let's briefly look at the examples of that show Elijah is a man of courage. So firstly, Elijah had courage when he went to the king with the news of judgment, the news of the drought. King Ahab, in his evil, has rejected God and has chosen to worship Baal and will now have to face the consequences. In chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah tells the king that the Lord will withhold all dew and rain for several years, causing severe drought, as we saw. So this is very interesting because the idol Baal was considered as a fertility god. Another name for Baal was the Lord of dew and rain. So Baal was supposedly meant to be the one in control of the rain. But Elijah is telling King Ahab that his god Baal, the Lord of dew and rain, has no power or control over the rain whatsoever. It is his God, the God of Israel, who controls the rain. So you could just picture Elijah going up to the king and taunting him, telling him that he worships a worthless idol and has turned from the true God. As you could imagine, this would make the king pretty angry. And as you could imagine, Elijah must have immense courage to stand up against the king and make such a claim. But Elijah was able to confront the king and make such a claim because he was a man of faith in his God. And he had the courage to stand up for his God and serve him. Now, secondly, at the beginning of chapter 18, after 3 years running from the king, God directs Elijah to present himself to the king again. So to do this would require great courage. If we read on in chapter 18, we read that Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets. In fact, in verse 22, we read that Elijah is the only one of the Lord's prophets left. Knowing that his life was in danger, knowing that the king would kill him as soon as he saw him, Elijah still obeyed God and went to present himself to the king. Elijah still obeyed God and with great courage presented himself before the king. But he not only presented to the king to tell him that God would send rain on the land, he puts forward a challenge against the king's prophets. This would take immense, incredible courage and faith. He is a man of courage. Just like the men in the movie. They need an immense courage to continue on with their mission. Just the same with Elijah. He needed to have immense courage. So thirdly, Elijah had courage as one prophet to stand against 850 prophets in the challenge. Like in the movie, 12 Strong, the 12 men stood up against an enemy of 50,000. Elijah too was hugely outnumbered, but he went out in courage and contested. And he could only have courage to do this because of his faith in God. And fourthly, Elijah stood firm in his faith in God, despite fierce opposition. He was opposed by the king. He was opposed by the king's wife. He was opposed by the prophets of Baal and Asherah. He was opposed by the Israelite people who no longer worship God. He was initially opposed by the widow. But despite all this opposition, Elijah stood firm in his faith in God. Despite the bleak outlook on his situation, Elijah was courageous and stood firm and obeyed God. So Elijah is a man of courage. So we have seen that Elijah is a man of faith and a man of great courage. He is a very good example for us fathers, for the fathers among us, even for all of us here today. So I want to encourage us all to be people of faith and courage like Elijah. Elijah's God is our God. And just as Elijah trusted God to care for him, we can trust God to care for us in our challenges in life. Like Elijah, we too face opposition and can be outnumbered. If you ever get to watch the movie 12 Strong, you will certainly see what it looks like to face enormous opposition and be outnumbered. That will give you a good picture of what Elijah was up against. There is a lot of church opposition. People view the church very differently compared to 20 or so years ago. Before, people had a positive opinion of the church and Christians, but these days there is active opposition to the church. So recent examples of this is the legalising abortion debate or the same-sex marriage debate. There is a lot of opposition to the church these days. But it shouldn't be a surprise to us that there is opposition to the church. As we have seen, even in Elijah's day, there was fierce opposition. Even Jesus taught that there will be opposition to those who follow him. So there is very little difference between Elijah's time and the church these days. Our God is the same God of Elijah. Therefore, we can be confident as we navigate the opposition towards the church. We can have courage and stand firm in our faith like Elijah, and not to be swayed by the idols of the world or pressured by society's values that have turned against God. So at times it is hard to stand firm and speak up to what we believe, but I want to encourage us all, not just the fathers, to be like Elijah and have courage and faith in God. So we may be a minority standing up for the truth, we may be outnumbered, but we need to have faith and courage. So the result of Elijah's faith and courage is that people believed in the true God. The widow in chapter 17, verse 24 said, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from his mouth is the truth." And the people of Israel in chapter 18, verse 39 say, "When the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" So let us, fathers, be men of faith and courage. Let us all be people of faith and courage like Elijah, so that people may believe in the true God. So let's pray. Lord, our Father, we thank you for the example of Elijah. We ask that you will help us all to stand firm in our faith and to be full of courage as we face opposition. We thank you for all the fathers here. We ask that we may remember the example of Elijah and also be men of faith and courage. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.